Okay, well, I want to welcome you to week number 3 now. It's hard to believe it's gone by that fast of our special. And really, I think you know from the first 2 how special it's been. Session with the millionaire maker. And I think, you know, you could quit after 2 and have your many, many times your money's worth. And you could make many, many dollars with what we got on the first 2, but I think hold on to your seat. Laurel, as I know her, always, always finishes very strong. So I think we're going to have a great session tonight. And without anything else to take away from her time, bring back again, welcome Laurel to our call.
Well, thank you, Vic. And you all had lots of homework to think about your cash machines and what's your skill set, what are you going to do to immediately make money. What's the model company, the revenue model, the team, the marketing? So I actually want to start, Vic, by just taking some homework. And for those of you who missed last week's call, it was so good about how do you make some more cash in your life, because it's absolutely critical and part of the wealth cycle. So I want to start by checking in to see how many actually got some homework done and have some questions around cash machine, because then tonight we're moving towards a new whole model for how your portfolio should really be working and getting into double-digit return. So let's start with some questions on cash machine. How many of you have some, you know, questions and things around homework and that you've been doing? Oh, and don't be shy. It would not be the time. No one did homework. Vic. We have to pay, they should have to pay us $200.
Oh, they just can't unmute themselves. Somebody out there can't unmute.
Well, I did my homework. This is Rebecca in Pennsylvania. I'm madly driving home right now so I can get to where my notes and everything are.
Just go from the top of your head. What kind of homework did you do? What's your cash machine going to be?
Well, that part I'm struggling with. I thought about setting up a tutoring business at the university, and I also thought about trying to do something with guitar, opening a teaching business with that to get other students to teach for me, because I don't have the time to do it myself individually now, but I do teach classes.
Good. All right, so what you need to do next, Rebecca, is you need to go find a what I call a model company. Who's already doing what it is you want to do? And model them. If you start from scratch, it's too slow, too difficult. Somebody's already done some of the things you want to do, so let's start modeling that and see what you can get done. The biggest thing you want to find in that model is what do people charge for this? So what you may charge for guitar is one price, but if you're going to outsource this to some other people to teach the lessons for you, then you're going to need to go up in price, otherwise you're going to be giving all your revenue, you know, to the instructor,
right,
and it's not enough for you. So you probably have to rethink this like a real business model and not just an extra hobby you do on the side.
Right. Yeah, I did go to one of the local music stores and got some flyers on somebody that is already doing this with guitar and piano. But I just haven't called her up yet because I'm not really sure how to approach her, because I don't want to approach her from the standpoint that, hey, I'm going to be your competition here. You know, I don't want to do that. I was thinking maybe if there's some way that I could give her a percentage if she'll help me get started.
That's a great plan. And you could also say, do you have extra work that you need to outsource to somebody so she could help you get started? Same sort of thing, you know, you both revenue sharing to get you up and running.
Aha, okay.
Good job.
Thank you.
Good. Who else has some homework they want to report out on? Have questions on cash machines before we move to your portfolios? All right. So if you decide to not be shy later in the call, you can always come back and ask those questions. But do you want to go offline right now, Vic, and I'll talk more about...
All right. We are now group muted.
All right. So, again, welcome back for the 3rd week of the Live Out Loud Teleseminars, and really around the Millionaire Maker Plan. So the first, you know, session, for those of you if you are new tonight, you know, we talked about building a wealth cycle, which is your income to assets. Spent last week around that, which is how do you build that business and make more income so you can do something with it. The biggest mistake people make is they make more money and then they spend it all. They don't really put it into investments. And to a lot of people's credit, they don't know how to invest. I think as a, you know, nation almost, we have not been taught to invest at all. And, you know, we've been taught to do what I call park and pray. park your money with somebody, pray it's going to do something. And that, at best, is never going to get you anywhere. I mean, look at the market, you know, of 2000. I don't know how many people lost hundreds of thousands, if not, I know several people who lost millions of dollars. And the problem with the market, I have, I mean, huge opinion, is that it is where you really park your money and pray that that emotional, you know, and very interesting machine is going to produce you revenue. And my biggest issue with the market is control, is you have no control when you put your money into the marketplace. Other people are running companies. Other people are buying gas and oil. Other people are buying REITs, you know, which is your real estate. It's really difficult for you to determine and really secure your returns for the rest of your life. And if you really think about the traditional financial planning model, what's even worse about that whole, you know, mostly, you know, people's portfolios, is the traditional financial planning model encourages you to park and pray. It says go get a good job and keep that for the rest of your life. And if you put enough away into your 401k, you do a couple IRAs, that, you know, when you're 59, you know, to 65 years old, you can just cash that all in and, you know, off you go. Well, that isn't happening, number one. Most people are not being able to have enough money as they get older. And if you really look at the model, if any of you sat down with somebody in the traditional, what I call the traditional financial planning model, and I'm not picking on you personally if you're a financial planner, but your industry is archaic. It says, so Vic, if you made $100,000 this year, then we should plan for you and make 80. And I just think it's insane that you would plan for poverty. You're planning to make less as you get older instead of make more and enjoy more life. I mean, I just think it's obscene. The other part of it is that you don't get any cash out of that model. You don't get cash until you're 59 and a half to 65 years old. I want cash now because I know more about what I want to do with my cash than wait till I'm older. A couple other factors that whole thing doesn't work is most people live until they're 80 and 90 these days. You know, with all of the different healthcare alternatives and, you know, anti-aging, all sorts of things, people are living to the 80s and 90s. I have a client who's 78 years old. I think I mentioned him last week. And you know, he's off to build a cash machine for 20 years because he knows he's going to live, most of his family genetically has lived until they're almost 100. So, I mean, there's a lot of things that just don't work in this whole model. And as people do, like baby boomers are now in their first year starting to pull money out of the market. It's going to be really interesting as the money's pulled out of the market, a lot of people don't have enough money, which honestly we have a ton of baby boomers coming into our program to learn to build cash machines. They don't want to go back to a traditional job, but they want to have more freedom, and they know what they have in the bank's never going to make it. And they know that with their financial planner or their broker, there's a reason why those guys are called brokers, is they're typically broke. Meaning very few of them, very, very few in the industry ever make more than $100,000. And I don't know about you, but no one making that little of money is going to command or give any control or advice over my money. I want only those who have a bigger, better game that are, you know, have a bigger portfolio than I am to show me what to do with mine. I don't need somebody that just has a great degree out of a, you know, Ivy League school that's sitting behind a desk that can run a software program on my portfolio to tell me that I'm going to make it when I'm older. So if you really are hearing the message, this is about leadership. You know, I think I kind of laughed last week. I said, you know, Columbus didn't come to discover America for us to all get jobs. And that includes how are you going to live for you and your family for the rest of your life and then have what I call generational wealth. So the kind of portfolios we're looking at are what we call direct participation programs. And on Wall Street, they're called DPPs, direct participation programs. And I started direct participating in my portfolio well over 10 years ago, probably almost 12 years ago, when I really started seeing the market was doing nothing. My little 401k that I was, you know, I did have a job was a joke. And, you know, I just saw a lot of people not, it's like if this is it and people are going to stay at these jobs and think it's all going to happen for them, I mean, that's leaving it to chance. So I started buying direct. And my new book coming out in October, it's on what I call direct asset allocation, same thing, direct participation, but I call it direct asset allocation, meaning you're going to buy assets directly. You're going to own them directly. You're going to control them and lead directly. Now, the biggest fear that most people have when I say that is, well, I don't have any idea how to do it. Well, I didn't either. And again, back to our whole team concept, when you find a team, so there's people who know how to do it. So when you find people who are really, really good at it, I mean, really know how to operate fabulous direct investments, you're reducing your risk at a huge rate, but you're increasing your return into well into the double digits. So let me just explain some of that. Indirect investing would mean the stock market. It would mean buying stocks and bonds and mutual funds and CDs, putting your money in, I wouldn't even say the money market because you could leave it cash there. You would put it into annuities, life insurance policies, things like that. Things where you park your money and then you really do nothing with it but get a statement every month. That's what's called indirect investing. Our way of investing would encourage you to go indirect. Direct means instead of owning gas and oil stock like Chevron or Shell or Mobil or whoever, you're going to own the wellhead directly. You're going to own the wellhead that kind of pumps oil and gas out of the ground. You drive by them in lots of places in the Midwest and down in Texas, Louisiana is where we buy. So you're going to own that direct. Now, by owning it direct, you own it like real estate. So you get a proportional write-off. So say you put $15,000 or $20,000 or $30,000, and yes, you can put that little into gas and oil. It is not a rich person's game. That's an old, old myth, and most people stay away from it. To date, it has been my number one investment that I have ever done. In fact, I'd never have to work again because of my investments in gas and oil. Alone, after everything else I'm doing, I never have to work again just because of that one. It's the most awesome, awesome process. And so by owning direct, you own it like real estate. You get depreciation. Eventually, you'll own it in an LLC, which means you get tax benefits, which means you're in a business. Just like I said last week, those of you who operate LLCs, limited partnerships, S&C corporations, actually run your life like a business, can activate 66,000 pages of the United States tax code. And again, if you're not in the United States and listening to this call, principle-wise, you still have a tax code that's different in your country. You just have to find the team that's going to help you do it. And we do have international attorneys on our team, and as I talk about the big table in our programs a little later, I'll tell you about those teams, because we have teams that can help you from anywhere in the world get this piece set up. So you own direct, you control direct, you get the checks directly from the oil that's produced out of those wells, and the way that we do it that really mitigates the risk is we have a very low entry point, but we make you buy 10 to 20 wells at a time. So you, in the old model, you buy one, and you all sit around and hope it hits, and if it hits it, you win, and if it doesn't hit, you lose. Well, I did that for a lot of money early on in my investing career, and I hit, which was good, but I also didn't hit twice, and it took a while to recover all my money, and I found a new group that we work with that has you buy multiple wells, which means if you won't hit, but you never lose all your money. So it's a fabulous, fabulous way to put money into oil and gas, not have it be just like how the rich person's game, and still get the benefits of owning this investment directly that produces 30, 40% returns over the course of the life of the wells. So fabulous returns. Now, the other way that you'd own direct, instead of owning a REIT, which is a real estate trust, investment trust on the market, so it's a way you can buy, you know, into a stock on the market or a fund, you own the real estate direct. And again, you get the LLC benefits, you get the depreciation benefits, you get tax benefits, you get in both oil and gas and in real estate, you get what's called 1031 benefits, which means you can keep moving from one property to one property to the one property, moving all the capital gains forward. In the stock market, if you get capital gains, you get taxed every year. In real estate and gas and oil, you never get taxed every year. I mean, it's stunning what you can do to keep your money building a portfolio instead of paying tax every year on your portfolio. Completely different process. The other thing that we buy direct is businesses. So you could own Intel or Chevron or HP or Microsoft or, you know, whatever your favorite stocks are. And I'm not saying you have to totally take your money out of the market. Like there's a few stocks that I really like because I like the businesses. I like the company and I like the management teams. I like how they run their business. But outside of those, why not own direct with a team that, you know, really knows how to make returns? Like really good what I call small business entrepreneurs, you know, people who are running under $20 million companies, they produce really profitable, and most of the companies I'm invested in, produce really profitable businesses. I mean, our cash, you know, the net profits, meaning, you know, total, you know, balance to you, is many times in the 20%. And, you know, I personally don't run. If I can't make a business make 20, 30% return, it's a lot of work for not a lot of money. I think I said that last week. I mean, I just won't do it. So the kind of businesses we buy, like we have a hair laser removal center we're buying right now, bought a couple restaurants, bought a tabletop resurfacing company, bought a nutraceutical company and a couple online companies that support that. We're in the process of building up a network marketing company from scratch, given this very specific tool that we have found. I mean, just lots of businesses, laundromats, and a lot of these businesses are making 20, 30 plus percent return, and that those returns, because there's no middlemen, right, in the stock market. You know, I can promise you, you know, especially the oil companies have made more than 20% returns. Some of them are even claiming to make 60 to 80. So you have to say, well, I own that stock. Why don't I ever get that in my portfolio? Well, because there's usually 9 to 12 middlemen between the returns that they say in the company before it hits Wall Street and before it comes back to your return, because everybody in the middle takes some commission. When you own direct, there's maybe only, you know, maybe one level of people taking commission. And typically in our model, there's nobody taking commission. It's straight profit to straight, you know, checkbook and straight into your, you know, your return, which you get your mailbox money, you get your check. So owning direct is just superior benefits to owning in the park and pray method, putting all your money where you don't know where it's going. Now, does it take more leadership? Yes. Does it take more education? Absolutely. Will you over time get the education? Absolutely. So here's how a beginning investor would start in the direct participation model is, and you've heard me say this on other calls, typically you build up, you know, $5,000, $6,000, maybe $10,000, and you go buy some, like, smaller, easy, what I call cash flow kind of houses, like cash flow houses or a pre-construction house. Just start easing your way into something. But, again, you're not going to do it by yourself. You're going to do it with teams. There's people all over. Like, I have 9 cash flow house teams across the country, meaning they're in markets. Like, we just opened up an area of Alabama where we're buying great little cash flow houses, $40,000, $50,000 houses. We buy them in bulk. We're buying 20, 30 at a time. And then we manage them in the streets on behalf of the clients. And then our clients can buy from us, or with us, I'm going to say with us. So you never have to go to Alabama if you don't want to go to Alabama. You can if you want to. I have another one in Pennsylvania. I have another one in, two in New York, one in Jersey, or I'm one in Syracuse and one in Rochester, Ohio, Indiana, Arkansas. So lots of different little cash flow markets that we help you learn to do it. So your first one, again, to go solo in this model, I think is risky because you don't know how to find the houses. You don't know how to find the markets, and you don't know how to manage. And there's a lot of people who will go on what I call just a casual real estate tour with. There's a lot of companies, and they'll take you into the market. They're going to take commission from you. They're going to take commission on the loan. They're going to take commission all the way around the house, and then they leave you there with you and your house. We would never do that. And that's really a big, big, big piece of how we work with people, is we never leave you stranded. There's always someone that lives, what we call a field partner, that lives in the streets, including our businesses and including our gas and oil, everything we buy. Someone is totally responsible for the investment on behalf of the investors. So it's a very different model. So I have houses in 29 markets, houses or apartment complexes or pre-construction land projects, and I own upward of, by the end of the year, I own almost nearly 20 businesses. And again, do I own by myself? No, I have lots and lots of partners. And somebody is in control of each of those investments. Now, that all happened in about 6.5 years. And this watched me grow up. I mean, I went from not knowing much to knowing a whole bunch of stuff. And I'll promise you, I learned it from my teammates. So how I started is I did exactly what I told you. I called somebody 20 years my senior, and that was a multimillionaire in real estate. And I'm going to tell you this because most people say, oh, most people that wealthy won't help. They always will help. I mean, there's more people who will help you. You aren't willing to ask. So I called this guy in Oregon, and I said, will you help? And he said, well, you know I'm kind of done with my game. Like, I've kind of done everything. I said, I know. I said, but why wouldn't you take a little piece of equity, is how I approached him, meaning, you know, take a percent of what I do, and all you don't have to travel. Just give me your brain. Tell me what to do so I don't make mistakes. And clearly you're in the deal, so you don't want to lose. So you're going to give me the proper guidance and expertise, and I'll find more people who help. And together he taught me how to raise money. He taught me how to put the legal stuff together, how to find the legal teams. He taught me how to find the market. And, I mean, less than 6 months after knowing this guy, I had raised enough money. We bought $16 million worth of real estate. In fact, that was my millionaire story. That's how I became a millionaire when I was 33, just right before my 34th birthday. And I thought, well, this wasn't that difficult. And then I did it again. And I did it again. Now, over time, he kind of faded into the background, and I found other people, like one guy who really knows how to do land projects, and he's kind of one of my land guys. I have a team in Chicago doing condo conversions. So I find people who really know what they're doing, and then I help them by raising money and putting deals together. So there's lots of ways to be in the game. I have people who are what I call deal creators. Some people like real estate. Personally, I don't want to live in the streets and manage real estate. I like living right here in Lake Tahoe and looking at my lake and living in the forest. I don't want to go, you know, kick tenants out and sit across the table and do pre-construction, you know, homes and do all the contracting. Now, did I do it? Absolutely. That's why I can teach it. But I don't do it anymore. I have people who do it with us. So that's, I'm just kind of giving you an example. Same thing with gas and oil. When I met the guy that said gas and oil, I said, you know, we'll be pretty tight with you and give, you know, we'll work together, but you're going to be accountable to all these people, including me, because I'm not, you know, so I've learned a ton. I feel like I've got a PhD in gas and oil well investing. In the beginning, did I know anything? No. But you show up for phone calls. You show up. I flew down to Dallas. I flew into Houston. I really, like, learned where my money is going, so I was smarter about how I was doing it. So this isn't something that you're going to sit down in a one-time meeting and all of a sudden arrive with a 20 or 30% portfolio. It's going to happen over the course of a year, 2 years, or however much time you want to take to go into it. I have a United pilot who I think I've shared his story before. I actually have one more who's going for his same plan. He flew in to Longmont, Colorado, and met with them, and he sat down. I know they spent a day together complaining a lot about United and then getting over it and getting on to their plan. But, you know, Howard was somebody who I met on a Team Made Millionaire stage, which is one of our events we do, and he had well over $3 million. Didn't do anything, didn't join our program, didn't do any invest, nothing. And called several months later and said, you know, United just took a chunk of our pension away, 22% of our pension went away. Anyway, he ended up losing nearly $1 million. So he had just over $2 million left to invest, and he quickly activated everything that we told him to do. And we just spent, you know, time working with him. What do you want? How much time are you going to spend? And his $2 million portfolio makes him just over $20,000 a month in cash flow. So he sleeps and checks arrive at that level of performance. Now, that's a portfolio. And I would challenge anybody to show me a stock market portfolio that can produce those kind of consistent returns. So when we talk about direct and indirect investing, direct is it more work? Absolutely. I'm not going to lie to you. You've got to be far more involved. But you know what? For that little extra amount of work, the learning is extraordinary. The teams and the people you meet are unsurmountable. I mean, you can't even believe what's possible. The speed of which these things activate, I don't even see how you'd make another choice. I mean, unless you really, really want to put your head in the sand and just hope the stock market pulls itself around. I mean, you have to think hundreds and thousands, if not millions, of people that are called baby boomers are going to be pulling their money out of the market to live on. So what's going to happen to the market? Who's putting money in the market at the rate of which it's getting pulled? I mean, those are just basic numbers that you can run that as baby boomers come, you know, into the age to pull cash, they're going to. So is that going to do what to the market? If money's getting pulled consistently out of the market, what's it going to do to this market? And can it, right now, it's barely producing 8, 9% returns, barely. And that's a really good portfolio. Again, I'm not picking on everybody. There are some really good brokers out there. There's some really good, I don't even call them brokers, I call them money managers, because when they're really good, they're a money manager. And they are producing nice teens, you know, 10, 12, 15, 18% for their people. But boy, I find those are few and far between. The normal kind of just financial house has a whole bunch of people right out of school. They pay them $60,000, $70,000. If they're good, they might make $100,000. And they're the ones that are sitting behind a software program programming in how your stocks, bonds, and mutual funds should be cut up. Just don't see that happening as we move forward as an entire nation. And already, you know, lots of other countries have experienced, you know, the roller coaster of, you know, their elder, you know, baby boomer population pulling money. So kind of the wake-up calls here, folks. I don't think my book could be any more timely to say, you know, wake up, take some leadership, take control, let's get educated. Let's learn to buy real estate, learn to buy gas and oil, let's buy businesses, let's buy notes, let's buy things that actually will make you an enormous amount of money, and have your money really work for you. I have people that, you know, as they kind of come into their 70s and 80s, even 60s, I mean, what they're doing, I have a woman who's 62 years old, she was so cute, she read my book, came right to my mentor program, she came right to the big table, and her name was Fran, she was so cute, and she said, I have just had it, and I'm going to take some leadership, I have no idea how, and I'm here. And she had just over $1 million. And her whole first job, her first year at our big table, is going to be to learn how to invest that money. And she's willing to take some trips to really learn from these field partners and understand where her money's going, so she's not going to put her head in the sand. She's going to go fly. I think she's going to Alabama with our field partner, Steve, and she's going to look at some houses, and she doesn't have a clue what she's doing right now. And that's what Steve's job is to do. And Steve is the joint owner of that project with her. And you say, well, I don't know, Steve. Well, she doesn't either. But you know what? These guys are open. You can do background checks. You can do criminal checks. Do whatever, you know, you need to do. My new book addresses how do you do due diligence. If you don't want to do anything with us, just make sure that you do my due diligence worksheet. So in the new book, we have, you know, a very specific way that you go and partner with people. You don't have to know it all, but you do have to lead it all. And there is a big difference. I don't feel like I know everything about every investment down to the daily detail. I don't have to. I'm not the field partner doing that. But I know enough to be very, very certain and comfortable that they know what they're doing. They're executing according to what our contracts say, and they're delivering me checks on a, you know, monthly or quarterly basis that you know, say what it is we agreed to do. So here's what a portfolio could look like if you really went for it. Say of your 100% of your money that you have to invest, say you have $500,000. The way that you do this and start evaluating, you know, where's your money now? Let's start there. Where's your money now? I would draw those little funny pie charts. I'd say, if I have 100% of my money, you know, $500,000 or $200,000 or $1 million, whatever it is. Where is it now proportional to and what I call an asset class? How much is in real estate? How much is in the stock market? How much is in notes? How much is in CDs? Now, where's your money now? And once you draw that chart, and for some of you who don't know, that's homework. You've got to go down to the, you know, what I call the wirehouse, whether it's Schwab, Fidelity, J.P. Morgan, you know, Vanguard, wherever your money is, you got to go sit with that person who put it where it is and understand where and why it's there. And I'd also understand what the percent of return is. And a great question to ask those folks that currently have your money, I would say, so if I took money out every month instead of reinvesting it, how much cash flow would I make? Because that's the number we want to work with you on, is if you have, you know, $500,000 and you're making, you know, $1,000 a month, that's $12,000 a year. I mean, is that, you know, is that a good enough return for you? I wouldn't even say most people make $1,000 a month. Most people probably make a couple hundred. I mean, what I've seen, most portfolios are just horrible, horrible investments. So figure out where it is. Figure out what your cash flow would be if you could take it. And if you can even take it, you know, I find so many people are doubling, tripling up on their jobs, but they have money that's sitting around, what I call lazy assets, that you could really get working and use that cash flow, you know, as it for a while to get your cash machine running. And, you know, there's just different ways to do it. There's a faster way to get what it is you want and not have to be so, you know, locked to a job or locked to, you know, the brokerage house. So first figure out where you are, and then I want you to draw another circle, and I want you to start looking at, in the Millionaire Maker book, I actually, you know, talk about what your portfolio should look like. So if you really like real estate, some of you will put 30, 40, 50% of your total into real estate. Some of you who really like businesses, like I'm really falling in love with businesses, and I'm, you know, I'm a great business owner and a great business run. Like I know how to look at a P&L and can really turn that company. So I knew how to, one of my best business partners, Fred, he and I have bought five companies together, and in the last 2 years, our five companies have put over $4 million of net worth to his bottom line. That's that's his side of it. That's not my side of it. That's not the investor side of it. I mean, we really know how to look at these companies and evaluate them. And we're not buying good, you know, like I said, we're not buying great companies. We're not buying bad companies. We're buying what we call good companies. Companies that if they had a little better marketing, a lot better sales, a lot better website, a lot better, you know, customer base, better systems, better team, we could turn them and make them, you know, a 5, 10% return company to a 20, 30% return company, and that's what we do. We buy companies that are already up and running, so we already know they know how to make money. They're just not making enough money given what they're doing. So we love going in and putting a lot of muscle into it and fixing them and then, you know, really ratcheting it up. So I'm taking my portfolio, which is, you know, well at 50%, down to more towards, you know, 30. I'm in the process of doing that this year, and then ramping up my business side of my portfolio more to 40 or 50%. So you'll make the decision, but first you just got to start. And then gas and oil is always kind of recommended to stay around 10, no more than 15% of everything you own, you know, your asset base in there. You'll want to keep some cash because other things will come along. Some people do notes. They're just kind of standard 12% promissory notes where basically you're being the bank and loaning money. So I always call those CDs. You know, I have a lot of money in notes where people pay me 12, 15% on a regular basis. And it's, you know, guaranteed by real estate or a business. And, boy, it makes CDs look like a kindergarten game when you can make 12, 15% on your money. I have one note that's paying me 20%. I love that. So I'm just sharing, like, as you start looking at what your money can do for you, the wealthy have played this game for generations. I mean, since Columbus discovered America, this game of the wealth, the way that we invest, has been around forever. And so the difference is education. It really is truly education. And I'll be honest with you, it's connection. It's knowing the people who know how to do it, because those who know how to do it can activate it much quicker than those, obviously, who don't know how to do it. And I know personally the reason I built Live Out Loud this way, which allows people to do some investing, is because I went to every seminar in the world, and I went to specifically investing seminars to learn to invest. And what I found is everybody would give me their idea about what I should do to invest, but no one would take me to the streets. No one would take me and show me how to buy real estate, or show me how a gas and oil well really worked, or show me how to buy a business. And so I just never did it, because I didn't know where to find anybody to help me. And then finally I got so frustrated, I just kind of, you know, figure I'm going to call somebody who isn't in the seminar world. And I'm not saying everybody in the seminar world is like this, but for me, that was my experience. If I couldn't find somebody to go take me to the streets. So I found somebody, actually, I did meet him at a seminar, but I met him, and he told me it was a totally different seminar. It was like a Claim Your Power Now. Awesome, you know, more motivational stuff, you know, help thinking. Bob Proctor was there, actually. And I met him there, but I knew he made his money in real estate. And then I called it. That's how I found him. And I called him, and I said, would you help me? And I thought, well, heck, if I can do this, I mean, anybody can do this. This is just finding people who already know what it is you're doing. So if you're hearing through a lot of what we're doing, we're trying to get you to use other people's experience to mitigate your risk. Because to go out and do what I'm telling you about what I do is extremely risky if you have no idea what to do. I mean, I would put it at the top of the charts, which is what Wall Street does. They say, you know, this is the riskiest kind of investment. And I would say, yeah, you're right, if you go out on your own. But if you go out and start a business with somebody who has a lot of clues, who knows how to do what they know how to do, and they've actually proven profits, and you can validate that, how risky is that? I just don't see, and I've experienced it now, year after year after year, extraordinary gains with people that are just brilliant on my team. And here's the fact, folks, you're going to have to learn to share. Sharing is the only way this happens. I'll share one more story. I was going to share, like in Marin, Mexico. I knew nothing a year ago about Mexico real estate. And again, the guy who coincidentally was the same guy up in Oregon, he kind of faded away for a year or two, and he and I hadn't done a lot of projects. And I was down in Mexico with a big group that I brought down, and we were doing an educational event. And he said, well, let me come over and just talk about real estate, because I've been buying a bunch of real estate and would love to share again, love to get more involved. So he came over, taught us a bunch about Mexico real estate, Mexican corporations, brought a bunch of team members from notaries, which are what, you know, their attorneys are called, some accountants, some just kind of different government folks about how does it get done in Mexico. Boy, it blew every myth away that everyone says how hard it is to do. I mean, blew it away. And now I own lots and lots of real estate in Mexico. But I own it with a team who, like my developer down there, has been down there for 22 years. Got a huge track record. I've been multiple projects. So let's go live for some questions. We have a few minutes for that, and then I'll get some final action.
Okay. Let's do this. We haven't got but a few minutes, so jump quickly. Be brief in your question. We're going to take everybody off of group mute. We're going to do that on 3, 2, 1.
Question.
Hello, this is Gabe from West Palm Beach.
Hello there.
How you doing? I finally made the jump from corporate America, bit the bullet, and dedicated my energy full-time to building my cash machine. And had a quick question on partnerships. If there's anything I should know about besides, I want to bring on a partner. We've been talking about it. We both have the same goals. I've worked with him in my former job, Whitley in sales. And I know he's just as hard as a worker as I am. Is there anything that I'm not seeing besides making that type of decision? Is there anything else I should be considering before doing that and building an effective cash machine?
There's a lot you should look at. first I would look at, I mean, the biggest mistake I think people do when they bring on partner is they hire in their like kind. Meaning the mistake you'll make is to attract someone who's too much like you.
Right.
And then you don't have enough diversity. So now if you're both, say, marketing and salespeople, know that your first person out that you've got to hire is more of an operational business, you know, kind of person who's going to, you know, make sure that the operation's handled. Here's what one exercise I do for a lot of new partners is independently, you write out what your roles are and you write out what you think their roles are. Independently, they do the same. What's their role? What's your role? And then here's a couple more questions. This kind of applies to all of you. Is how are you both going to spend your time? How is the money going to be spent?
Right.
And how are you going to have a business divorce and still remain friends afterwards? And I'll tell you, if you can come together and have that conversation and have a lot of alignment and agreement, you're well on your way. Good question on the partner. Vic, thank you for the opportunity to jump back in and spend some time with these folks. And we look forward to talking to a lot of you, if not all of you, on strategy sessions, and let's help you go to the next level.
Well, thank you, Laurel. It's been another masterful job on your part, and we really appreciate your wisdom, but more than that, we appreciate your attention and your time and knowing all the other great things you have going on in your life that you take time out for. So on that, everyone have a great evening and a great holiday.